spawning salmon! The spawning salmon!
The spawning salmon!
Welcome, everyone, to a super, super special episode 22 of Bridge City. Sam, we've got an unreal guest on today's episode. It's super exciting for the two of us, really. This has come out of the blue. We won't give away too much, mate, but pretty exciting, hey?
Over the moon. Absolutely over the moon.
Yeah. We're look, if you haven't listened to the podcast before, Sam and I are brothers, and we're both massive Brisbane fans. And at the start of the year, we said, let's do a Brisbane Raw podcast. And yeah, I had this sort of podcast platform already ready to go for something else I've been working on. So we're just like, fuck it, let's just chuck it up on the Few Quiet Ones podcast platform. We're going to call it Bridge City, and we're going to record every week. And we've pretty much stuck to that. Yeah. We did miss, if you listened to the last episode, we did miss a week there with our dad in hospital. And we're going to talk about dad a little bit later. But in the meantime, everyone go and get, I don't know, when depends on when you listen to the podcast, I guess. If you're listening in your car on the way to work, probably don't go and crack a beer. Depends what you do for work, I guess.
Do it.
Long neck of foe boy, yeah, 7:30 in the morning.
Nutty sends us a meme today, or yesterday, I think it might have been, of a guy with a doing a shoey on a thong with a VB. Yeah, doing a thongy with a VB. And yeah, that's now that's just the most Australian thing I've ever seen.
Oh, look, we can discuss shoeys and stuff. Like I am mates with the guys from a band down in Tasmania called Luca Brasi, who actually wrote the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers theme song, I'll have you know. And they were the first people who I ever saw do it. And this was back in like 2011, 2010. They're fucking animals.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yep.
And I've witnessed, within the same weekend that I saw people drinking out of a shoe for the first time, I also saw people funneling beer through a thong for the first time. So I've seen a thongy. Look, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight, Sam. So let's get straight into the interview that everyone is here. Let's not fuck around. Like, everyone is here to listen to this interview. So without further ado, roll the tape. Brisbane Roar Club legend. Let's go. So we've got a super, super special guest on Bridge City tonight, guys. I mean, you've probably seen, if you listen to the podcast, you've probably seen the headline and you know who it is. But anyway, we'll try and keep it mysterious as we can until we get to the intro. Tonight's guest is a former club captain with Brisbane. He's also a former Socceroo captain, 59 caps with the country, including an Asian championship. And Sam?
He's had 272 caps for the Raw between our two stints. He's won our inaugural toilet seat and possibly our last toilet seat that we'll ever win.
No.
That is, of course, Matt Mackay. Welcome.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having us.
That's awesome. Mate, we're very, very stoked to have you on.
We're super stoked, super stoked. And we're not going to take up too much of your time, Matt. So, look, we're just going to jump straight into it. Sam and I have got a couple of questions we're going to go through, mate. And we'll just see how we go. And then at the end, you're going to be our test dummy for our new thing we're going to do when we do have guests. We're going to call it Extra Time. We're going to run through 10 quick questions right at the end, mate. So, perfect. Sam, you want to take it away?
Yeah, definitely. Now, first up, we've got what have you been up to since playing with the Roar and playing football in general? Are you still playing football? Because I've only come across you at like those baby expos and stuff like that. Yep. So, what have you been up to since?
Yeah, so it's nearly 5 years. Anzac Day 5 years ago was when I retired, and got a few things on the go. I'm still playing down at Capella Bar. I'm playing Metro One, so it's a bit of fun. Stay fit, and I'm still got that aggressive streak if someone crosses me. And then obviously we've got our baby business, our baby playmat business called Freddie and Co. Still going really well, and I'm helping out in that. And then I've got Brisbane Grammar's First 11. I've been coaching them for a while now, and have thoroughly enjoyed it. We've got a season coming up now, term two, and I'm also on the board of Football Queensland, so I'm trying to stay as much involved with football as I can. And then, yeah, probably the most exciting thing was last year we got to travel around Australia in a caravan with the family for 13 months. So, that was a real treat, to be honest, to be able to travel and do it with my young kids and see the country that I have flown to a lot of places, but haven't really explored. So we got to do that.
Yeah, awesome. That's something that a lot – sorry, Sam, you go ahead, mate.
No, you go.
I was just going to say that's something that a lot more younger people are doing now, you know, like people that are in their sort of like late 30s into their 40s are doing the, I don't know if we'd call it a slightly gray nomad thing. So that's really cool, mate. I didn't know that you got up to that last year. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're just really fortunate. Just fell into place and we just thought we'd go for it. We only had Freddie was our oldest. And the business is called after him, Freddie and Co. But yeah, he was the only one in school at that stage. So, we had to homeschool him, which was a challenge, even though my wife's a teacher and I'm half a trained teacher, was difficult, but, we got through it and, we got to see so much amazing places. WA for us is probably the pick.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely be back there, up around the Ningaloo Reef area.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That kind of answers a couple of questions, but I think we were possibly going to get to in the extra time and a couple of the other things we had lined up. So, look, mate, I mean, talking about the white line fever, I know that never disappears. So, Sam and I played futsal up in Brisbane with a bunch of mates and we would experience that on the regular. So know exactly what you're talking about, mate.
I'm still experiencing it in the over 35s. Well, actually it's the over 40s. I'm the young guy that plays in goals cause I'm not over 40 yet.
Yeah, I'm holding on. I don't want to cross over to the over 35 yet, so I'm still in the metro.
Don't do it.
I'm probably running still a bit too much for the 35s.
Yeah.
Man, I can just imagine pulling the boots on and then walking out on the pitch and seeing someone like you there just be like, oh, well, time to go home.
I'm gone. Cool.
Yeah.
The majority of the guys are really good. It's in the league and, it's pretty competitive and we have good fun. So we will have a beer after and talk about the past and also our club and our boys. We all got family, so it's always good to sit back and relax. I didn't do as much when I was playing.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, mate. Look, talking about when you were playing, I just wanted to take you back to the early days at Brisbane because I mean, Sam and I have been fans since day one. And I was just really interested to find out what it was like in those early days, mate. And also, what was the process that got you on board with Brisbane?
Yeah, so the early days, I missed the old badge, our first ever, the Raw badge. I know they changed it, but I do miss the good old days. And, geez, it's a while ago now, but, that first squad, we were pretty raw and, but some great mates as well, and bonds that we created and some good memories, and we're at Lions then, we're training at Lions, I remember that, we had, a really good squad and it was a really good atmosphere and, it really got good traction those first couple of years and the players were a big help for that. By being able to get out in the community and we really worked hard to try and engage the community and Miron Blyberg was pretty vital to that as well. He was very fan focused and got us out there. So I think that was the stage. How I became a Brisbane Roar player, I signed, I think, on my 21st birthday. I was one of the only, myself and Stu McLaren, that was kept on at the Brisbane Strikers. Yeah. In between when they applied for the license, I was pulling beers and answering phones and down at Meakin Park and stuff like that. I was very grateful to Clem, but, as soon as the Raw got the license and they offered me a contract, it was pretty straightforward in the end. And, I was happy to be back in a top competition because it was tough for a young player then, not having a year of football and, I missed a bit of development through that stage.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, and I think Miron was probably easily the biggest character that the club had at that time as well. Created the headlines when they didn't need to be created and took the focus off off the playing group. So, yeah, that's
I don't think people quite acknowledge that he was very good with that. He was very good with the media. The media loved him because of you know the quotes they could get off him. But you know, from a player's perspective, kind of coming into a training session, you never knew what you're going to get from him. You know, he'll come up with a new drill. And he was very honest in saying, I got this idea when I was on the toilet this morning. this is what we're doing for training today. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. But, yeah, it kind of kept it a bit lively and it kept the players engaged, which is key in a football club, especially when you're there so much to keep the players engaged throughout each session. So he managed to do that.
Yeah, it's a big task for a brand new club in a new league and a bunch of fresh young players. So, like you said, mate, I think his like work that he did, even though some people looked at him as a bit of a caricature, like in those early days, he did a lot to help the club and to sort of give the place a bit of an identity too. So, shout out to Miron if you're listening.
Yeah,
Miron.
I hope he is.
Got it cranked up in his Mercedes.
Yep.
That's it. With the Brisbane Roar badge on the back.
Well, the next part that we're going to go over to, just to completely break from what we're doing, is like going from Raw to heading overseas. What was that like? What was the Rangers to, where was it? You went to South Korea, I think, after that.
Yeah,
was
Korea
it?
Yeah. And then China. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just over a 2-year stint overseas. Obviously, I went to Rangers. It was probably the wrong time.
Unfortunately, yes.
For them. and that was disappointing for me because it was my you know, big chance. I was, you know, it's difficult in football. I was 28 at the time. I had to go. Yeah, probably not the right football for me. And I felt I was probably played out of position a bit when I was there as well. They saw me as a winger when really I was a midfielder. I can't change that. I was very grateful for the opportunity. You know, it came through Craig Moore and his connections, and I was very grateful to him, you know, to get over there. Just timing wasn't right, and that opportunity, as soon as I went into administration to go to South Korea, I kind of jumped that because they were you know, I wasn't playing regularly, the Korean coach had been after me for a long time, had been chasing me even when I was still at war. So you know, I took that leap over there and really enjoyed it. Like you know, he the coach was great. He played me, and you know, obviously you enjoy yourself a bit more when you're playing, but it was tough physically. Got beat up a bit there, really. In the league, that they're so strong, and it's really hard trainings. Like you know, you don't get any rest, and with obviously being in the Socceroos, I had a lot of travel as well during that time, and that kind of just caught up with me a bit through the middle of that year. But what happens in Asia is the coach, after a while, you know, gets a sack, and at the end of that season, he left, and new coach comes in, and my old Chinese team came back in for me that I'd been on loan to before. So I jumped at that chance to go back there and be again with a coach, you know, that I'd been with before. And he gets the sack after 10 games, and the merry-go-round continues.
To the old Brisbane Roar.
Old Brisbane Roar, which I obviously jumped at because I am a Brisbane boy. I love Australia, and you know, I miss it. I missed it, I'll be honest. I'm glad I went over and did my stints overseas, but I was delighted at the opportunity to come back to Brisbane.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Like just talking, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of Aussie players when they do go overseas, it's when they're younger. And for you, it was kind of a little bit different going over when you're, you know, a mature player. A lot of it seems from the outside looking in, a lot of guys go over there when they're young and sort of maybe can't take it. But you were older when you went over there, and like you said, you know, the circumstances with coaches and things like that out of your control, and you can't really control those circumstances.
Yeah, I was older, but I was also not naive. I understood the game, but you know, it's different over there, and you know, less opportunities. So that was new for me. I would have loved to go when I was younger, but was hamstrung by the fact that I didn't have a European passport.
People don't realize it's a massive thing, eh?
They really don't understand it, and I'm Aussie through and through, and had nothing like that. So UK passport, no EU passport. So that was very difficult, and you have to be in the national team, right, to even get a chance. And I only got through a tribunal to even get to Rangers. I had to go to tribunal because I wasn't quite at my 75% of A internationals in that previous 2 years.
So everyone who
understands football, with our previous national team managers, they said, obviously Pim Verbeek, may he rest in peace, but he didn't rate the A-League. So it's A-League players can't break into the national team to even get those caps to get overseas. So kind of catch 22. So I was, Pim had me involved a tiny bit, and then I was very grateful for obviously Ange, and then for what he did at Brisbane. But also Holger Osiek, who really gave me the platform to come into the Socceroos and do well and give me the opportunity to go overseas.
Awesome, mate. Look, it's like you've done this before. You've given us the perfect segue into the next question. I'm really interested to find out what it was like. You talked about Miron having different drills and things like that set up. You never always sort of like on your feet, never knowing what you're going to get. What was it like under Ange? Because, I mean, obviously we've all seen what he did at Brisbane and what he's gone on to now. But from your perspective, what was it like working under him on a daily basis?
Yeah, amazing. He can pivot quite easily. Like, he'll have, a drill which we'll do every day, every day, week in, week out, where we have mannequins and we play through those mannequins. They can't tackle you. Occasionally they do when we make a bad pass. but we play through them, and then we get a finish, a cross and a finish. And we just did that constantly, constantly, constantly. And it just became second nature for our movements, and understanding our combinations and our rotations. And, everyone's spoken about that. But then from there, when we get into our small-sided games, everything had to be on the ground. So he challenged us, nothing over waist high, which means we had to play through, right? And you can see that still. He's doing that with his teams. I'm guessing he has the same rule.
Yeah, right? So exactly nothing, the same.
Nothing over the waist. You learn to move and play. He just brought in the guys that suited that. And for us, for me in particular, really suited my game and challenged us to be better and to win things. And I think the delight of being in Australia is we have a 6 month preseason, but it's like a 3 or 4 month preseason, right? So we had plenty of time to work on it, and he by that first game we're ready to go. To be fair, probably our best game of the season was a game against Everton. In preseason,
we
battered Everton. We did really well. We lost in the end, but it gave us massive confidence leading into season. And that's the kind of fixtures that we wanted to test ourselves, and we could see it work. So I'm very grateful for Ange and what he did for us at Brisbane, but also the national team.
Yeah, awesome. I haven't heard that little sort of like the tidbit, and just remembering like how good that game was against Everton, and just remembering like the fact that that was on the back of Ange took over at the tail end of the season prior, where he had 7 or 8 games in charge, and that didn't really go to plan. A lot of people were sort of thinking, oh, what's going on here? But could you sort of tell from day one that things were going to change, or
to it? Yeah, so I obviously knew Ange well from the under 20 national team. When he came in, he didn't really do much coaching at all. He sat back and he wanted to obviously move some people along. But then as soon as day one of preseason came, it was totally different, man. He was very hands on. Everything was meticulously planned. We were extremely fit with Kenny Stead as our S&C and helping, but everything was with the ball. It was enjoyable, and we were really fit, and we just ran over teams all year. And Ange was central to that in the planning, and full credit, he obviously had a plan in place, and he was given time once that in that new season and did extremely well.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, Sam, have you got anything extra before we jump onto the extra time
question? I was just, you mentioned earlier that you're still involved with Football Queensland. Are you involved anywhere with Roar anymore, or still
I'm not,
support
but I'm
them?
In. I'll be a supporter all the time. And you know, I've had discussions with them, with Zach and Kaz, and you know, I'm obviously still speak to the boys occasionally as well, and I try and get down to training sessions. I don't get it down as much as I'd like to. But yeah, I'm a fan. I've been to games this year. You know, I want them up the top at the pointy end of the ladder, and yeah, I'll always be a supporter. So no need to worry about
that. One of us.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, look, Matt, we're probably going to run out of time soon, so it's time for us to jump into a bit of extra time. Like I said, we haven't sort of had any time to prepare this with you, so you're just going to jump into this blind, mate. Hopefully nothing too outlandish, but I'll ask one question, and Sam will ask the next. You all good to go? Who was the weirdest player that you played with at Brisbane?
Ivan Franich.
Okay, you don't need to explain, but that's awesome.
No.
All right. What was your favorite moment in football?
Eric Pardaloo's header in the grand final.
You had a pretty good view of it as well, so
by far.
All right. Favorite away venue in the A-League?
Central Coast Mariners, for obvious reasons. We never lose it.
The source. Yep.
So good. I got married down there as well, Woi Woi Bay. So my wife's got family down there, and I spend a lot of time there, and I'm down there every year. So we try and get to a Central Coast game as well.
Fantastic.
Best player you've ever played with?
Tommy Broish.
That was easy. I don't even know why I asked. Yeah.
Oh, that's Brisbane. That's Brisbane, right? But I've played with Harry Kewell as well, and I'm
that's what I mean. You've played with
I'm
some
a
good
mass,
players.
massive fan of him as well. So I had some good times, especially the 2011 Asian Cup. I really enjoyed when he was, you know, close to his prime.
Yeah, I'm really keen to see what happens with Harry. Hopefully, the time under Ange at Celtic. After a couple of false starts with some lower leagues in England, I'm really hoping that he can kind of kick on with his managerial.
So am I, actually.
Yeah. I love
it. It's a big challenge, and it's a good league he's gone to. So may the Aussie connection over there do well again.
Yeah, awesome. All right, mate. Look, my next question is, what's some current music that you're listening to? Is there any song or band in particular that you're kind of listening to at the moment?
Not really. I get like a little mix on, what is it, Spotify, whatever. I like a bit of everything, dance, R&B, top 40, whatever's happening at that time.
Bridge City Podcast.
Bridge City Podcast, sounds good.
All right. Favorite football team growing up?
Brisbane Strikers. I was a massive fan. I used to go.
Did you go to the final?
Of course I did, yeah.
Dad, yes, we were there too.
Yeah, my dad and I are season ticket holders, so we used to go to every single game. So I guess them, and then overseas-wise, I didn't really have a team. I had kind of like Nottingham Forest back in the day before they started getting belted and then ended up back in second division. Obviously back up there now, but no, I don't really follow any. I just love all football. I always, my wife hates me. I'm checking results every single day. That's the first thing I do was when I get up is check the results and just see everyone's gone.
Proper tragic.
That's it. Football tragic.
All right, mate. Do you prefer a coffee, beer, or wine? And out of your preferential beverage, where do you prefer to go to drink that said beverage?
Beer. I don't drink coffee at all. I have Pepsi Max instead.
Okay, cool.
I don't drink at home. Just never really got into it. So I guess I have a beer at a soccer club after a game on a Friday night. I have one beer.
What about the Red Brick Hotel?
Hey, the Red Brick. I used to play a bit of poker there.
Yeah, same with me. My mate used to live up the road, and I'd go and play poker, and then there's this guy that's so familiar sitting over in the corner there.
I won a few tournaments. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I used to play a little bit of poker, APL before, pre kids. After kids, you don't get that opportunity.
All right, what was your favorite movie?
I used to always say Cool Runnings when I filled out all that.
Fucking classic.
Bit of everything, like this Italian Job, on the top of my head, Shawshank Redemption. The Big Short. I like The Big Short.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie. Yes. Yeah, I've watched that a few times. All right. Might know the answer to this. It might be neither. It might be something slightly different. North side or south side when it comes to Brisbane?
South side.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, 100%.
Hate the north side. Hate it. They don't have a highway. They can't go anywhere.
I lived in Gordon Park for a little while, and I was just like, nah, get me back to Norman Park or Morningside, please.
That's it.
Awesome. All right, Sam, final question.
Do you have a current hobby?
Not really. I've got kids, so is that a hobby?
Yeah, they take up most of your hobby time. So
yeah, like both my sons actually, and even my little daughter. Now we're getting into fishing a lot, especially with our trip. So they're going out and buying lures every week. When I tell them we don't use lures, we're bait fishermen. I haven't got the patience to throw a lure all day. But yeah, fishing I think is probably my hobby, I guess.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Well, not too expensive as well.
And outside of fishing, I mean, it sounds like you're pretty busy. You got a few plates that you're juggling as it is. So outside of spending time with the family and the kids, it's probably not really much time. So fully understand that. I mean, not me. I don't have the kids or anything. So
yeah, I understand completely. And as a shameless plug for Freddie & Co., my mat is 5 years old now.
There you go.
And it's still in his toy room, still plays on it every day. And brilliant stuff.
That's great. Buy him, guys. That's great great feedback. We've just actually bought out a new range, but it's really they've been awesome. And I've been able to grow up with my kids and spend time with them on the playmat and get on the floor and read books and play with toys. So actually, my wife 7 years ago when we started the business, I kind of like, oh, here we go. But she did really well, and it's a great product, and it's everywhere in Australia, can believe it. We started it. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's all around.
And you can
country.
Tell you're doing well when Kmart copies you and brings out shittier versions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's just part and parcel of business, I guess. And we're just the small guys, but we'll keep working and hopefully everyone keeps buying off us.
Yeah, well, look, mate, I think we can wrap it up there. That's a really good way to end things, mate. And what we'll do is on our show notes, we'll leave a link to Freddie and Co. We'll chuck all of the socials and everything on there for, I think we tend to get around about 12 or 13 people that listen to our podcast. But
awesome.
We get
12, 13 playmates.
We get a few more than that. But if anyone out there has got kids or they're expecting, I mean, I don't have kids, and I can attest to the fact that Sam's mat has lasted for 5 years and it's super comfortable. Like, I still sit on it with Parker when I go around to play.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, Matt, look.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us, mate. This is extremely last minute. We're very appreciative of you jumping on board and doing this with us, Matt. So big, big love and all the best in the future, mate. And hopefully, maybe our paths will cross again one day. And thank you very much for joining Bridge City. Anything further from you, Sam?
No, that's all. Thank you so much for coming on, and I'm sorry for pestering you for so long.
Hey, not a problem. We finally got there. That's not a problem at all. Eh? I really enjoyed it, guys. All the best with the podcast, and go the Roar, eh? Let's get some more wins.
Go the Roar. Thanks, Matt. We'll see you. Catch you later, mate.
Perfect. Take care, guys.
Cheers, mate. Awesome, Matt. We'll send you through a link once it's all up and ready, mate.
All right, cool.
Cheers, mate.
Good. Take care. Have a good one. See you, guys.
See you, mate. All right, Sam, look, mate, we have just finished that interview. Everyone's just listened to it. We're still
gleaming.
I'm sweating. I'm like,
I am actually sweating. Is it warm or am I just blushing? I think I'm blushing. I'm not sweating. I'm blushing.
Like a giddy teenage girl, like that being Taylor Swift. It's pretty fitting. It's Easter weekend and we've just spoken to like the most revered person in Brisbane Roar history.
Yep.
Look, mate, I just this is all on you. You made this happen, mate. So well done, Sam, for pestering Matt McKay nonstop until he did the interview. Yes.
And anyone else that's listening that's part of the club, you'll know that I've been annoying you too. So
yeah.
Please join.
Everyone can expect some DMs. Mate, I'm over the moon with that interview. So big thank you to Matt for taking time out of his night. As he mentioned in the interview, you know, he's got a family. He's a super, super busy dude. He's super Matt McKay. As well as being super Matt McKay, he's also super busy. So we really appreciate him taking the time. He's never, I mean, he's met you a couple of times before. Doesn't really know us from a bar of soap. So yeah. Look, Sam, for the rest of the episode, mate, we're in the middle of, we're at the tail end now of the international break. So we haven't had any sort of like major Brisbane Roar breaking news or anything. Tom Waddingham played for the Oli Roos over the last couple of games, which is cool. Didn't get on the score sheet. Those boys got bumped out of the...
Sorry, mate. I did win that first game, though, so that was pretty cool. But then they got knocked out.
Lost to South Korea this morning, unfortunately. So hopefully Tommy didn't pick up any injuries or anything while he's over there. And, mate, I just thought we'd... you know, we haven't really got much to discuss. So I thought we'd just have a little bit of fun. So what we've said, obviously, you know, because I spoke to you before we recorded this, but just so everyone knows, Sam and I just, we've got a couple of things, a couple of fun things we're going to discuss, a couple of questions and just Brisbane Roar related. And just on the back of having a really good chat with Maddie, we thought we'd do a little bit of reminiscing as well. So Sam, the first question that we've got for each other to answer is pick your two most underrated Brisbane Roar players of all time. Now, I haven't given you much time to think about this.
No. But like there was one that came to mind instantly as soon as you said it, which for Roar fans, he's not underrated. But for A-League in general, I feel like he was very underrated, which is Massimo Madoka.
Yep.
As a player that was integral in a lot of our like victories and just gelling of team, he was one of those players that I always thought was, I didn't understand why no one was going after him. Like I saw him as one of the better players in our team. But yeah, it was either he just enjoyed playing with the group and stayed with us for, I think it says 183 games.
He was there pretty much the whole time with Maddie in the midfield there.
Yeah, 183 games.
Yeah.
That's scary. I didn't realize he did that many games. Because we didn't have that big of seasons back then either. So, he was my first one that went to mind. I thought that, he was one of the better players in the team. Perfectly gelled with Matty McKay and crew in the centre there. That was just probably one of the best midfield to forward rotations that I've known in A-League history.
They were like a really good 1-2 punch box-to-box midfielders. Both, I mean, obviously everyone knows that they're both sort of like, in terms of footballing, in terms of football, they were like smaller than most other guys. They're both not 6'3" or 6'4". The two of them ran the midfield like an engine for the whole time that they were together. So that's a good pick.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. Anyone else that you can think of?
I was having a look through the list of names and seeing if there was anyone that also piqued my interest. And Matt Smith, he's my other one. I don't think that there would be too many people in that are fans of other teams that would remember him. And he was... I know there would be some, but he wouldn't be. He's not a name that's synonymous with the A-League. He's definitely, yeah, one of those players that was, yeah, brilliant to have around as a gelling, like captain head.
Great captain, yeah.
It just, yeah, like I don't think we would have gotten where we got without him keeping everyone focused and keeping the team in the same sort of mindset as what they've been, as what Matt was talking about earlier.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that it's got to be either him or it'd be someone like I don't know, like a Luke Devere or someone at the back there that didn't let shit get past him.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't get the big names that, like, because we had some pretty big names in our back line. But yeah, no, and I was there, and they're just players that have played over 100 appearances. So like, that's all I'm scrolling through here.
Yeah.
Because I can't really think of, off the top of my head. The only one off the top of my head was Massimo. So
Massimo, yeah, cool. Look, I've probably got a few, and you've probably just sort of reminded me of a few others as well. But some of them I'm thinking back on, like with Matt Smith, it's probably similar. Like, are they were definitely, they weren't underrated at the time, but possibly have maybe been forgotten about a little bit now.
Yeah.
So in that mold, I would put Sasha Ogonofsky in that.
Oh, in that God, basket. Yeah. Oh, Ogdog.
And I think most is weird. Like, most of the picks that you and I've got are defenders.
I feel like because that's how we were playing. We played a style of football where shit didn't get past us. We could play for 90 minutes and not have to worry about a goal going in. And then all we had to do at the end there was just score at the end because everyone was too tired and we were still going.
Yeah. Well, look, my first pick when I came up with this question, the reason that I came up with this question is I was watching when I was putting together that fantastic intro that you guys heard at the start of the episode.
It's a budget intro. I love it.
I watched the replay of that goal by Partolu over and over again while I was extracting the audio and everything.
And extracting.
Like, I don't know how many times I've watched that game and that moment. And the thing that you never hear anyone talking about is it was what, the 92nd, 93rd minute or something like that of normal time.
Yeah.
And the game was pretty much lost. We got down into that end of the field and Rocky Visconti chased the ball from like the 18-yard box.
That's right, yes.
He's the one who chased and put the pressure on the Mariners player and forced the corner. And oh, I think for that moment, like most people probably can't remember too much of Rocky. He was one of those players who was like always there or thereabouts. He was never like the most talented player, but he did show lots of promise. But I think that just purely based on that one moment, that's something that you don't hear anyone talking about. Everyone, like us included, always talks about the Partolu header. We'll always talk about, you know, Enrique. And then the penalty shootout. But I really think like if people haven't watched that entire passage of play for a while, if you go back and watch it.
It was the 120th minute. It was the end of extra time.
End of extra time, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, because it was nil all at full time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in extra time, it was 2-2.
Yeah, it was 2-0 to the Mariners and then the mighty comeback. But if you go back and watch that Partolu goal, Visconti, I'm pretty sure the ball is kind of like, it kind of just like wanders, sort of like squirts out towards the byline and no one else puts any pressure on, but he chases the ball and puts that pressure on. And so for me, I think that's, maybe he's not the most underrated player, but I think that's probably the most underrated play
in
Brisbane Roar history. In my other pick, I think I touched on him in one of our earlier episodes when we talked about a similar sort of thing, mate. Mohamed Adnan. He was unreal at the back. We only had him for a very short period of time. I really, really wish we'd signed him long term. He seemed like he loved the club. He loved the fans. And he was a great defender. And that free kick that he scored, that'll forever live in my memory. And his celebration. Yeah, and the other one as well, who sort of doesn't really get talked about that much, who was extremely influential at the time, is Avram Papadopoulos.
Oh, true, yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he did have his, you know, reputation tainted by spitting at one of the opposition players. But that aside, he was an absolute monster at the back for us. Yeah, so I just thought it would be pretty cool. Like, just seeing, watching the replay and seeing that effort that Rocky put in, I was like, no one ever talks about it. Who's some other people that you never really hear, you know, like football people talking about when they talk about Brisbane Roar? So that's, yeah, that's cool. Look, the other one that we had, mate, we're going to, you know, discuss our favorite Roar moment. And I think we've sort of already started discussing it.
Yeah.
That grand final, that first grand final. I think it's
For everyone watching it at home, it was incredible. For everyone watching in the stadium, it was unfucking believable.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it was you, me, and Dad. We were at the
We're at the Caxton Street end.
Caxton Street end, yeah. Up in level 7 or whatever it is.
Up in the nose.
Right up the top. Yeah, it got to, I think it was the 2-0 down. So that second goal goes in, and the family in front of us hop up, like raw supporters.
Yeah.
It was a father and husband and wife with 2 children.
I think they also possibly looked like they had like maybe some of their kids' friends with them as well.
Yeah.
It was like another two or three kids.
It was a fair few of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, when that second goal went in, everyone was dejected and they hopped up and left. And it was that moment when Dad turned to us and was like, "You never leave. The game isn't over. You never leave." And as soon as Dad said that, there was something that was just inside me that was like, yeah, we could still do this. Like, we've done it all year. Why can we not do it now? Like, and you could, I don't know, it was like a feeling in the crowd happened probably 5 minutes after that, where everyone in the crowd lifted again.
Yeah.
And then went through the motions. And then as soon as that first goal came in, the crowd just went to such a, like, I've been to State of Origins there. I've been to Brisbane Broncos finals games there before that and after that. Nothing has come close to it. Nothing.
No.
And like, I've been supporting Broncos since 1990, whatever it is. Yeah. Since the Seagulls disappeared. Like it's ridiculous to think that we got to witness that in the stadium. Cause you watch it back on the videos and you're just like, it's not the same. It's awesome. No, and it doesn't do it justice. Will never leave you.
One of my best mates, Crispy, who I know definitely won't be listening to this, but shout out to Crispy anyway. Crispy and I used to play in a couple of bands together in Brisbane, and he's a massive Broncos fan, like doesn't like football, soccer at all, which, you know, is cool. That's fine. But he listened to the game on ABC radio. And
we
caught up a couple of days later at band practice, and he said that he had never heard anything like it coming through a radio broadcast. He said that they couldn't hear like the announcers, like the ABC commentators or anything. He said it was just the most unreal thing. And I mean, I don't think anything's ever going to come close to that feeling for me at a sporting game, mate. Like, I just, yeah. I mean, we've discussed it before, you know, like the fact that the club kind of really dropped the ball on the back of that.
Yep.
And the subsequent two other finals that we won as well, but I mean, there's, you know, they should have been doing everything they could to turn all of those 52,000 people there into members. Anyway, look,
to give you an idea of how. Sorry, I'm just saving them because I thought I could hear Parker.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of how how much they didn't capitalize on it, it was, when did I start being, so 2017, in 2017, I'm sitting at walking into the a Broncos game, going into the little store that's on there. And I walk in and there is a, which I still have today sitting over on the door here, a bar runner with the back-to-back champions on it, the Raw back-to-back champions. And it was sitting in there. I've taken the sticker off now. Pretty sure I got it for $10.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much they missed the point there. It was just, and every time I look at it, I think about that moment of how the fuck did that not get bought up instantly?
Yeah.
Like, there was 50, so there was, I think it's written on it, yeah, so the 2011 one, there was 50,168, and in 2012 there was 50,334. Like, it just yeah, baffles me as to how that piece of merchandise was still sitting there.
Look, yeah, I mean, it was a really special night. We got to share that with our dad. We were like, I was going to games with, you know, with my mates, with Luke and Steve and Jerry and all of the futsal dudes and all of our mates from, you know, within the music scene and stuff. And, you know, my friends in the Northern Element. And that was I don't think Dad had really been to many games with us up until that
point. No, I think he'd been to a few when we were still, the Queensland Raw games, really? So probably like 07, 08, he would have been coming to games. And then he sort of teetered off because it was just difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But it
was a really special moment. I just really wish that we, because it was, we had iPhones and they had like pretty piss poor cameras on them back then. I just wish that we had taken some more photos on that night. We've got like one photo of us walking down Caxton, I think, and you can see a little bit of us, but that's a memory that, you know, the three of us will share as another 50 odd thousand people that were there will never forget that night. And when you start talking to people about it, they bring things up that you forgot about on the night, or and like you said, like I forgot that Dad said that, you know, like, and
yeah.
And it was kind of like one of those movie moments, you know, like
it really was. Yeah. Like when I think back, that's what it is. It's fucking, 90s movie.
You never leave until the final minute. Cue like triangle music. A slight breeze.
Flashback to them as children playing football.
slight breeze goes through the stadium.
itself.
We were going to discuss a couple of other things as well, but I think we've sort of gas bagged on enough. The star of the show tonight was Maddie. We're so grateful that Matt took the time to sit down with us. You know, we're super appreciative to both Matt and Mike who've done our two interviews with us so far. Hopefully from here onwards and upwards, with some more interviews, mate.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys have any ideas on who I can pester next, please let me know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to annoy them for, I think Matt, I annoyed for 4 months. No, he was really good at the start. When I first contacted him, he's like, yeah, it's something that I'd be keen to do. And he's like, obviously doing stuff at the moment, so just get back to me. So I got back to him, and then he was traveling. So then I was like, he's like, I'll be back in March. I'm like, well, I guess he's gonna fucking message you in March, mate. So we were annoyed. I annoyed him, but he was good sport, and thank you so much, mate.
Yeah, and so now Sam, you have to start DMing Ange and Tottenham.
Yep, Ange,
and we want business flights over to.
Yep, that's it.
To London.
And we'll film it all on our iPhone.
All right. Well, look, guys, that's been an amazing episode for us. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to leave us a rating, if you listen on Spotify or Apple Music, jump on the rating system that either of those platforms have got. Leave us a star, leave us 5 stars, whatever the rating is. Get in touch with us on our socials. We love to hear everyone interacting with us on Twitter. We like to ask fan questions. We didn't have time to field questions to our fans for Matt McKay this time, but hopefully next time we get like a high-profile interview, you know, we can answer a couple of your questions for that person. So jump on our Twitter. I'm going to put links to everything in the show notes, all of Matty's stuff that he's doing, all of our socials, our YouTube channel that we're going to hopefully start doing some more on as well. We really appreciate you guys listening. We're getting to the pointy end of the season now. The international break's over, and it's time for Brisbane Roar to pull their finger out and give us all a happy ending. Oh, that didn't sound very good. A fantastic end to the season, of a season that's been quite bad, to put it lightly. Any final words from you, Sam?
No, that's all. I am going to probably not sleep tonight now.
You meant to tell me to come up with a faster outro, because I've been talking for about 30 minutes.
There is no outro. This continues until you press stop.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys next week, hopefully to discuss a fantastic Brisbane Roar performance.
Peace.